afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. Hope it's been a great day and a great week so far. Well, here's a question for you. Are you flourishing in your life? Maybe you're flourishing in one area, but maybe not another. Well, if you could change something about your life, what would you change? And then what would it take for you to make the necessary changes to cooperate with God so that maybe you can flourish in an area that you're not right now? Well, my guest today is Elisa Keaton, and she joins me back on the show to talk about her book, The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. And it's a workbook, and it's amazing. We had such a great conversation. It's an eight-week journey, and I'm telling you what, I think this is a perfect time to engage in this eight-week journey as we lead up to the holidays. A couple of quick announcements. A week from today, we've got our live studio audience with Dr. Troy. We are so excited about it. Now, we heard from the maximum capacity of people, but I got to tell you, as Sarah has sent the emails to confirm your spot, we're not hearing from you. So if you need to, if you've already said, yes, I want to be part of the studio, but you've not confirmed your spot, you've received an email, make sure that you do that because I want to make sure I get to see you face to face. It's going to be a great event, okay? And also, if you are a prayer warrior, we'd love for you to join our Faith Radio prayer team. You can sign up on our website, myfaithradio.com. All that means is you'll get a weekly email giving you just some prayer directions and sample prayers so you can intercede for your city, for families, for leaders. The prayer of a righteous person accomplishes great and powerful things, right? All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Elisa Keaton is a leading certified fitness professional with more than 20 years of experience. She's passionately dedicated to serving the Lord, and she's founder of Revelation Wellness, a nonprofit ministry dedicating to educating and inspiring people to live healthy and whole lives in Christ Jesus. She lives in Phoenix with her husband Simon and her two children, Jack and Sophia. Dear Elisa, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Susie. I'm so overjoyed to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Looking forward to the conversation. You are definitely a sister of my heart. That is for sure. So, yeah. Well, you know this. We love to start by talking scripture. And I'm wondering if you're thinking about a verse these days you can share with us or a life verse you can share.
Oh, boy. That's like how many?
Indeed.
Okay, Lord, which one to share? I think he's really pushing in 2 Thessalonians 2:10 right now, and this is a rough one, everyone, but it says, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. And I just feel like it's a truth that sets us free. I know we love God's love and we talk about love, and I think we're living in a time that love is, the topic of God's love is rising to the surface, but the truth is what sets us free. And it's really one of those, that's a wholeness message to hold love and truth. And it just feels like for such a time as this, could we rise to the truth that we are loved by God, but there is a truth that sets us free.
And friend, if you're listening today and you stumbled on the dial and you don't have a context for faith and you're hearing what Elisa says, I dare you to just ask you, God, make yourself real to me. Am I blind to anything? Is there a truth that will set me free? Something I should know about you, Jesus. Show me what that is. I encourage you because Jesus loves to answer prayers like that. So thanks for that verse, Elisa. Well, for those who missed our first conversation, maybe just give us a little more of a backstory about your faith and fitness journey so people know where you're coming from.
Yeah, thanks. Well, first of all, fitness. I just want to clear the table because some people go, oh, it's fitness, calorie burning, calorie counting. I want to bring everyone back to the table if we're talking about the concept of fitness because this is an everyone message. Everyone has a level of fitness. Everyone has this in their life. You're fit for something. If you're breathing and you have lungs, you have a fitness level. And it really just means to be ready for whatever purpose. My water cup is fit because it has no holes in it, so it's fit to hold water. Whatever it is, we all have a fitness call in our life. And for me, it began in the actual field of fitness. I enjoyed moving my body. I enjoyed how my body would respond. It felt like something that I could, quote unquote, control. And fitness became something that I used, but little did I know over time it began to use me. But I did enjoy helping people make transformation. And really, that's at the heart of me, is that anything is possible. Like, change is always possible. We don't have to stay stuck. And as a heart of a trainer, that's what drew me into fitness. I didn't really, wasn't really thinking about the Jesus or the faith at that time. It was just fitness, helping people change. And so it wasn't until my personal story of life started to crash down on in me. I looked good on the surface. To look at me, I had all the fitness ability, the look. I did everything by the rules. I went to school. I mean, everything on the surface looked clean and tidy and put together. But inside, oh my, I was just a trembling, falling down. Why couldn't my husband please me? Why couldn't, you know, I just had all these needs that were kind of spilling out and coming out sideways with me. And that's when Jesus became, I just could feel the call on my life to come back to church. I had faith when I was young. I kind of was raised in a home with some faith, but nothing really beyond something you did. And when I finally started, my own life started colliding with my own inner turmoil, I was able to hear God calling me back to him. And it was then that the scriptures were opened up. I could hear God was loving me. He was calling me to love and to know him. But my fitness kind of stayed over on the side, and I kind of did the Jesus over here and the fitness over there, knowing that I really do enjoy helping people make change. But the more I grew in faith with Christ, the more I started to go to church, read his word, get in community with people, the more I knew there must be something to this. And that was when he started, I always say, he started messing my business. He started getting up in my business and showing me, basically at one point said, Elisa, do you want to learn what I see about this fitness world? Do you want to know what I know? And I want to tell you my secrets. Do you want to listen? And I finally, you know, I was able to see with my clients that there had to be something more. No matter what, something seemed to be missing. And that was when I pretty much drew my chair up to the Lord and said, okay, teach me. You show me, you tell me, I'll write it. Even though I'm not qualified to write, I'm not qualified to speak, but I can't help but feel like you have a bigger message that you want to share.
And boy, has he done that. And it's amazing when you think of where he's taken you, Lisa, because in your book, you write about even being a competitive bodybuilder and really, I mean, God starting to just open your eyes going, then this is the route that the world takes, you know, into idolatry. And I would venture to say this is why so much of the church goes the other way completely, because they don't want to go near that. But somehow we've thrown the baby out with the bathwater, with, to quote an overused cliche, but that it's the truth that we've missed a fullness and a flourishing that God has for us because of that extreme element of society. So strike a balance for us here.
Yeah, amen. Well, I think we have to remember that our body, the body holds the story. The body, your thoughts, your mind, your brain, your heart, your emotions, your soul, it's all stuck in this body. And to try and just separate and not talk about the body is to discount the fact that Jesus wore flesh. He put on a body incarnate. There's something he learned about having a body that actually brought him closer into fellowship with God. He learned what it meant to pull himself into a silent place to hear from God. He had to take his, he was hungry, he was tired. He had faced the same afflictions that we do in a flesh, because we know that our spirit is willing, but the body is weak. That he could use that weakness to actually show us what it looks like to flourish inside our weakness. So I think it's not an either or, it's an and in both, our flesh and our spirit. I want my spirit to lead and tell my flesh where to go.
Yeah, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And anytime we take a good thing and we make it a small g, God thing, it leads us deeper into captivity, bondage, and even insecurity. And you felt that before you came to Christ and integrated your whole life with him. But it's interesting, as I read some of the stories, that as a Christ follower, you spot it quickly with those you're training, where they first get results, they're excited, and then how they can just instantly turn it into an idol. I mean, just say a word about that, because, and just to add to this, it's kind of a loaded question here, Lisa, but you're teaching in prisons, you're teaching at the LA Dream Center, you're working with former prostitutes and prisoners, and you're working with people who've never ever thought that they could step foot in a gym, and you're adding confidence because you're adding faith. Before you answer that first question, answer this one. When you look at what God has done, you took a flying leap risk to trust him. I mean, how do you view health, wholeness, fitness now in light of eternity and Jesus just saying, will you trust me? You've trusted him. Now look what he's done. I mean, talk about just your affection for him and how you view even your call now.
Oh, it's insane. It's crazy. I can't make sense of it. It's too big and beautiful and wonderful. I mean, the way I literally see people when they move their bodies and they teach, you know, I teach to this worship encounter and experience in their body when I do live events or teacher training or any way that I'm actually with people using this modality of movement. What I see, it's holy ground. Like, I feel like I need to take my shoes off because people literally do come back to themselves. They come back to this good design that they are with a good father who created them, even though bad things have happened to them. And those bad things get stuck in us and cause, you know, this dysfunction of thinking and feeling in our bodies. But it's almost too much. I have no, you know, there's no formula for it. I have to look back and go, you know, we have over 1,200 instructors now worldwide and growing, and they go out and do this in their communities. Like, it's, again, I don't have any secret other than we teach people how to be free so they can set free, how mm-hmm. to be free, stay free, and set free, because this is how the gospel moves forward. I come to tears many times because it doesn't make sense, Susie. The world should be laughing a little bit at it, but I think the world is starting to wake up a little bit more at a time because they see it doesn't satisfy, and at some point it terminates on itself. Fitness will terminate on itself unless it's for a higher purpose and beyond just, you know, for a good life and a daily life. This is your worshiper. All of us are worshipers. All of us are giving ourselves away to something. So why not give yourself away, heart, soul, mind, and strength, to the one who created you, heart, soul, mind, and strength? So it's beyond my imagination I get to do this.
Well, can I get an amen, friends? Fantastic. Talking to founder of Revelation Wellness, Alisa Keaton. Her book is, it's an 8-week journey, The Wellness Revelation, Loose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. I mean, just what if you engage deeply from now until the holidays? What might happen? We've got 3 copies. So this is how we're going to do it. Email, not me, but this address, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put wellness in the subject line and remember your mailing address. Now, if you got a question for Alisa, email me, susie@myfaithradio.com, so I can ask it on the air, okay? And we'll be back in a minute. That's all you got to do. You got to get a playlist with songs like this and just bust a move. Get your heart moving. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to fitness professional and founder of the Revelation Wellness, Alisa Keaton. We've got an 8-week journey. 8-week journey. It's like a workbook titled The Wellness Revelation. Would love to get it in your hands. If you want to enter the drawing, just email me. Actually, email. I'm just getting used to this new address. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put wellness in the subject line. And remember that mailing address. So just for fun, we're going to walk through some of the weeks outlined in this revelation. So week one is embrace God's purpose, desire, and design. Say more about that whole idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the beginning of the book, you know, most fitness plans or programs might get right to it, you know, like, okay, here's what the problem is and here's what you need to do, and not this book. This book, I remember my publisher going, okay, are we going to, because there's a workout calendar that comes with the book that you can access through your videos online, and they really take, we have to slow down. We got to know where we are to know where we're going to go.
That's right.
And that first week is really about dropping the pin on who we are, who God is, and who He's created us to be in relationship to Him. His desire for, we focus on His desire, His design, His purpose. This is a Him story. And it really is from that place, that's where we know, I can do this because this is a God who is calling me into it. This is not just my own, you know, pick myself up by the bootstraps and I'm going to do better this time. And even beating our chest and saying, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's yes to that, but there's something that is hidden in the heart of God, and we need to go more towards, what are your thoughts for my life, God? What is the purpose you have for my body? What's the purpose you have my body connected to the thing I'm called to do? What's the design supposed to be? What were you thinking about when you created me? I know it sounds a little abstract for most because often, again, we're just sitting around thinking, okay, what can I do? How can I work harder? And I think we really have to do the Matthew 6:33, first seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And then all these other things, all these other chapters are going to work themselves out. But let's give him word and heed to what he says about what this body and what this life is.
That's so important that, you know, he loved us first and he cares about helping us with our next steps. And so for you listening today, that next step, you might hear the whisper of God saying, you know, that tendency to show up late everywhere you go, that's not about time management. It's about self-protection. Ooh. You don't want to be known. I want to help you with that. And that's what happens when you get in God's presence, or he'll say, all the Netflix, you're numbing because there's something I want to talk to you about. But there's never, it's not condemnation, it's invitation. And I that's why I feel like where you're starting is so important, is just being known by him and saying he is with you and for you, and he's cheering you on, right?
Yeah, and it also, you know, it's this place of surrender. All, you know, even the great addict, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, even with only talking about God as a higher purpose, they always start to, you have to surrender too. Because if you could do it by now, you would have. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like,
That's right.
If I could have gotten changed this, I would have done that by now, but I can't. So there must be a higher thought, a higher truth than my own little t truth. And so when knowing that, when we can surrender, I always think of Jesus's last words on the cross as they're recorded in Luke records it as he says, he lets out a big cry and exhale and says, into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. And those are Jesus's last words recorded. And I always think, if those are his last words, if that's what he put down last, that's what I pick up. That is my, if that's his last exhale, it's got to be my first inhale. Into your hands. You've committed my life. I commit this over to you. I exhale. I surrender this battle to you. And that becomes a delicate, a more time and patience kind of walk. That's probably the first thing I would say. Everyone has to die to their ideal body. You got to put that thing on the altar and let it burn. The thing that you think your body should do, or what you think the world says it should look like, you have to just put it on the altar and let it burn. And as well as even what you think you're going to get out of the process. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to lose this. I always tell people, if you never lost a pound measurable on a scale, but you felt closer to God, you could hear him speaking truth into your life, you had a relationship closer to him, heart, soul, mind, and strength like never before, would it be worth it? And everyone always goes, okay, that would be worth it. Granted, I might not have the fast results I want, but the world is going to move fast. The kingdom moves at the pace of grace, and grace enables us to do what we could not do apart from God.
The kingdom moves at the pace of grace, and grace enables us to do what we could not do apart from God. That's fantastic. You know, so right, once we surrender ourselves to God's strength and power, we organically develop a thirst to maintain unbroken fellowship with him. In other words, our tastes change when we start here, don't they?
Yeah, even to the point of I what I really am trying to do in through this book and through this ministry is just create worshipers that are really attuned, that God has spoken and he is speaking. Mm-hmm. So he even cares about, hey, what should I have for lunch? What would be good? Like, he wants even the smallest of decisions. Or should I stretch my body today? Should I move my body today? You know, all these things, all these little things that we just plan out without him, I think he really does care, especially the ones that we seem to get constantly stuck with. Even more so, he can help and speak to the truth of what you need, not just necessarily what you want.
Amen. So we got about 4 minutes to our hard break at the bottom. So I'd love for you to tell the story. If I have to jump in, I will. But Kate's story, and it was the gal who was an addict and a former prostitute. And I believe you met her at the Dream Center. And I think she ended up being one of your instructors. Am I getting this right?
Yeah, well, that story was actually written by one of our ambassadors. So we put ambassadors through training who they go out into these marginalized communities. But so that one was written by Nadia Porter. She's one of our ambassador instructors. Like I said, they go out into women's prisons, into rehab centers, just the unexpected places. So that was her story of Kate, and basically Kate coming alive to her design, to who she is. And she graduated from the program and really changed her life. But part of that was her moving her body, like bringing, you know, the story of the pain of her childhood, bringing it all to these movement classes that Nadia would hold. And she just found faster movement towards fullness of rehabilitation of her mind, her body, her soul, and her spirit. And then she just has gone on to live a life free from the things that were holding her down before.
It is amazing. To explain the dynamic of that, that why you're seeing accelerated healing and wholeness because of the way that you're integrating mind, body, spirit.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked. There is actually now neuroscience. There's brain science that's coming out more and more that is connecting the mind body, mostly the mind and how the mind neurogenesis, how we can create new neurons, a new thought, a new pattern. We have the ability to create it. God gave us the spirit of a power, love, and a sound mind, meaning a mind that can continually fortify itself and stay strong. But something happens when we move our body, and what we find is there's something called rhythmic therapy. So what you do, just sitting down on a couch talking about your problems or sitting down, you know, with a psychotherapist of some kind, it has some value. But when you begin to move your body, you actually can unlock places in the mind that you have shut down with fear, abuse, or whatever that thing is that's been locked down and can't get to. When people begin to move their feet in a rhythmic way, they actually have faster access to these thoughts and an ability to heal and implant truth into what was once a lie. It's still information of the why or how, but we see it happening more and more. People that heal faster and have rebound from trauma or experiences of pain when they actually enter into the pain and move their bodies a little bit.
We've covered this on the show a number of times about forming neural pathways. And one thing that we've learned from several of the brain scientists who've been on the show is that when you're in the presence of joy and gratitude, there's an acceleration of neural pathway development. And that, and when you're in that mode, it's like it almost cauterizes the unhealthy nerve circuit. So if you imagine you're in movement and you're actually having, you know, you're joyful, you're grateful, you're enjoying yourself, and you have it in mind that you're bringing your whole self before the Lord. I mean, it makes complete sense when you think of it in that context. Isn't that amazing?
That is so cool. Yes, that is so true. And then think about how God designs our body to actually release chemicals of endorphins and serotonin and dopamine when we do hard things, when we exercise, when we work out. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win. He's gracefully giving us this backing of what we desire, and then our body is saying, okay, I can access that now because I've got some neural pathways to help me get strong and fortify.
Well, I make jokes about this every day, but I sing into my hairbrush, I'm dancing to my music every single morning, and you know, even at conferences that I speak at, I get women up and I'm like, if you're opposed to dancing, let's call this movement. Let's call it exercise. And we put on a song and we get up and we move. But we are created for movement. We are.
Yes.
And boy, the sooner we can get moving and enjoy it and say, man, I am fearfully, wonderfully made, Lord. Thank you. It will do something for you. Talking to fitness professional Lisa Keaton about her amazing book, The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. Would love to get you in on the drawing. Just email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget the mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to fitness professional and woman of God, Lisa Keaton. Her book is titled The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. It's an 8-week journey. We've got 3 workbooks here for you. Love to get your name in on the drawing. Just email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put wellness in the subject line. Don't forget the mailing address. And we're walking through as many as we can get through of the 8-week, week-by-week topics. But before we get to the next one, Lisa, we've got a listener who wrote in that says, I'm listening to the live show. Absolutely love this discussion. I agree with your guest that we should consult God in everything we do. That is the only way to live. However, I find myself getting paranoid about if I'm consulting God enough regarding the schedule he wants me to establish. I find myself hesitating, praying, waiting for God to give me a clear answer. However, I feel like a clear answer doesn't always come when I want it to. Do you have any suggestions as to how I can make better, quicker decisions while trusting Jesus and prioritizing his plan for my day and life? How do I trust his spirit in me? Wow, great question. What do you say, Lisa?
That's such a great question. Well, always remember that the minute we make a good decision, maybe the minute we make a clear okay, this looks clear. This looks, I feel like this is a directive from the Lord. Then the enemy is going to come to try to confuse and steal good seed. God is not a God of confusion or chaos. So I think a lot of times this, we don't have to be fearful. Like if there's fear, if there's any element of fear, so kind of, I think she said something, but I'm afraid that I'm not scheduling. Like if wherever we use the word afraid or fear, that's not God.
That's right.
Actually the voice of a deceiver trying to accuse and condemn us before we've even made the mistake. So then, you know, then we end up not doing anything at all, and then shame comes because we haven't done anything. No, no, no. You always have to just go, you know, what's the next loving thing that I can do? And often, even when I make a list of, okay, these are the things that matter, I feel like God's calling me to, I have to pick the thing that is the only I can do. Only God is calling me into that. And when it comes to kind of moving our body and stewarding good health, that's only we can do that. And it also doesn't have to be all or nothing. It can be 10 minutes a day. It can be grace surrounded so that you're not creating a legalistic lifestyle either. So I think just notice wherever you're afraid of making a mistake or afraid I'm going to, you know, if I eat that, I'm afraid. There is no fear in perfect love,
Amen.
But there is a sound mind and power
right.
and love.
Amen. Also, to toss your way to, dear friend listening, time with the Lord in the morning where you get to know what his voice sounds like. I've noticed, Lisa, that he leads us when we're unaware. I mean, as I just spend time with him and converse with him in the morning, as I go about my day, there have been times I've been redirected and I look back, I didn't even realize that was God, but it totally was. And I think wisdom's path is peace. As you just stick with
Amen.
The path of peace, he will lead you in the way you should go. So, wow.
Amen.
Great question. Okay, so week one was Embrace God's Purpose, Desire, and Design. Week two is titled Be Free. Say more if you would.
Well, Be Free all comes down to, this is the week on worship. Like I said, the first 2 weeks, we really just drop a pin on the soul place, this place deeper inside of us before we get moving in the body or talking even about food. And that is the worship, the fact that we all are created to be worshipers. We're all giving ourselves away. You know, the time and energy, it's kind of the one thing that as humans we have. We have time, and then what do we do? How do we spend that time, the energy that we pour out? Is it life abundant? Is it seeking to increase more life, or is it something that we do in fear? And that's really this to be free place or being free. If you are driven by the motive of love, that God is love, that you are loved, and it's your purpose or desire to manifest more of his love into the world, then you are a worshiper. You're a living worshiper. You're living free to worship your God. But anywhere that you are afraid to do that, where you feel like fear is motivating you, the fear, you know, the fitness world really does, 80% is driven off of the fear. Look at an infomercial. It's trying to tell you that you're not enough because this person had this transformation and the befores and the afters, and it's absolutely focused on getting you to latch into devoting yourself to changing your waistline. And hear me, I think that's all good stuff, but it doesn't start there. If we start with what am I worshiping, what am I giving highest value to, what am I thinking about, is it true, is it noble, is it praiseworthy, that's where God does his place of worship. Out with the old, in with the new, and from there our hearts are free so that we can approach food, fitness, mm-hmm. money, sex, whatever it is, we can approach it from a healthy and whole love-based perspective, because we know in the end we are living for God and we were created for love and by love. That's our goal, is that freedom place is everything's permissible, but not everything's beneficial. Everything's permissible, and I will not be mastered by anything.
Mm. Amen, amen. And when you go from that place, when you start from that place, out of worship, out of love of God, surrender to him, even your fears, I mean, that is the only way you can surrender the body image that the world has projected and get comfortable in your own skin. I mean, talk about freedom to go, I don't have to look like the airbrushed model. This is the body I'm in, and I want to be comfortable and enjoy the life God has given me and not be a legalist, not be hypervigilant. I mean, paint a healthy picture of what a solid Christian guy or girl could do and be if they were to take that approach.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, good question. Honestly, I always come down to, it goes back to, remember I said in the first week, you have to put on the altar the ideal, like the thing that you think you should be, what your body should look like, even what you think fitness should be, and come and say in this drop a pin, healthy, sobering moment of, okay, how am I doing? Like, how's my sleep? How am I anxious? Because as we know, Susie, 95% of all illness and disease is connected to stress. Like, let's just stop right there.
Yeah.
We all are stressed. We have these smartphones that are not necessarily making us smarter, but potentially more anxious. We're more connected. We're more accessible. So how am I doing? Do I have margin in my life to hear from God, just to rest, just to enjoy life? That's a wellness place that if we can get ourselves stable there, then we will have, we'll make better decisions with food, with fitness, with all these other things. But we have to be able to go, how am I doing? How am I feeling? How am I sleeping? Has my energy, you know, am I up in the middle of the night? Measure health is the true health measurement is on the inside. Then from the outside, we can look. Now, granted, if you have 100 pounds overweight, you're feeling it on both sides. You're feeling it inside and outside. But I still go back to start with the heart. Start there, because you've probably tried all the outside stuff before, and it's just frustrated you and caused you to condemn yourself and give up instead of, okay, God, I don't care if I never lose a pound, but free up this heart. Free this heart to worship you.
Amen, amen. Can I get an amen, friends? So this is a prayer from your book that I think is fantastic. I just think someone might need to hear this today. God, help me to understand what you're doing in my life. As you begin to peel back the layers of my life, you're showing me places where I have failed to let you be God, where I've tried to make a good thing my God thing, small G-O-D thing. From a humble heart, I desire to seek you. You are my God. You are my I am. I admit that I'm fearful of letting go of the things in my life that are taking your place. I fear loneliness, sadness, and weakness. I believe in the promises you've made so I can be free to love and be loved by you alone. Please continue to lead the way and give me your strength to follow. Love this. Amen. So, isn't that good? And that you're, you know, I mean, you're just listening, and I can tell you're ministered to by it, because it's such a courageous prayer of surrender. And I'm wondering if you'd speak to that person listening today, thinking, I have crutches. I know it. I'm leaning on things I shouldn't. I'm scared to death to give them up, but I know you're inviting me, Lord. What do you say to them?
Oh, I say he loves you. He Amen. Loves you. And he also knows. He knows how hard it is for you. So it's, his heart is compassion. He feels the stuff. He's with the suffering. That's what compassion means. Not just passionate, but compassionate with suffering people. And he's always close to the brokenhearted. And he's never going to push you. He's not going to demand it. He is a gentleman. He sits and he waits and he calls and he beckons. The end of it is you do get to choose. You do get to choose. And if you feel the choice to do, if you like, if you can take the brave step to step into your pain, I promise you there's answers there for you. It really does come down to the enemy tries to tell us you can't make it in there. That's too hard. That furnace will burn you up. When God is a consuming fire, his love is a consuming fire, and he says, go ahead, come on into my heart. Stop diligently searching the scriptures. Come to me and find me, the living source of life, of water, whatever you need, it's found in me. But his heart does burn, and it will burn away the impurities. So the very thing we're afraid of going into the pain, of surrendering, taking off the crutches, is exactly the thing that will meet us in a greater place of God's grace for us, of God's love for us. This is so that you would know him, that you would know he's God. Because again, if you could have done it by now, you would have. This is God's story. You are God's story. This is a glory moment. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground and enter into the fire. I promise you, you will not be burned. You will not be consumed. What God does get consumed needs to be burned off anyways.
Yeah. And the thing is, when we default to certain things that could be initially gifts, but we use them as small g gods, we experience the law of diminishing returns, because it takes more to get the steady feel, whether that's shopping, drinking, eating, whatever your thing is. It eventually, you need more and you get the less of effect and you're captive before you know it. But you trade that. There's a flourishing and a fullness and a freedom that is like, you're like, why did I wait so long to know this freedom? But it is scary, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I love, there's a quote by Tim Keller. I say it so often. It should just be on my tombstone. It says that idols... They consume you while you pursue them. They disappoint you when you get them, and then they devastate you when you lose them. So it's a cycle. You know you have an idol when any of that is present. You're consumed by it. You never seem to be satisfied with it. And should you dare lose it, it would crush you, because that's not who God is. God is your helper, your counselor. He's there to build you in strength. He wants you to be a sign to the world of, like, this is what the kingdom looks like.
Amen.
This is how entering into my pain has actually produced in me a strength I would not know otherwise.
Oh, amen. Well, this feels like a hard turn, and I don't mean it to, but I want you both to not only to define gluttony and why it matters, but talk about the benefits and power of fasting. So you can pick which one you want to tackle first.
Yeah, that's what we do. And I think the second week and moving into the third week, there is a fasting element involved. You know, when I wrote this book back when, I really didn't understand fasting as much. I just knew God was like, you're going to need to learn about fasting. Okay. So many great things have come through fasting. First of all, Isaiah 58 talks about, people that are worshiping God basically in form. There's no function to it. It's just religious form. He's like, I'm not interested in that. But if you were to fast and turn your heart toward me, I will break those chains of oppression. Anything that we feel we need to have to survive, is this something that God says, would you trust me with that in a fast? Would you give that to me to see? But, you know, we control, and especially when it comes to food, we don't. That's a tough one. That's like, you know, I like food. I don't want to be hungry. But it's actually in the hunger place that our minds open to hear living truth. And now this, there's a documentary that just came out about the benefits of fasting, and it was fascinating. I actually watched it on a night that I was fasting, felt really called into it. Any time in my life where I feel a stronghold, where I feel like I am stuck, like I am desperate for you to move, God. Do not want to be the same woman tomorrow. Like, you have to do something. It's beyond my control. I can't fix myself. You must be the God of Abraham. You must be this God. And I will move towards I feel the call to a fast. Like, I'm not, it's just for desperate people in a way to go, and none of it. I don't need it. I don't want it. It's you and you only, God. And I was watching this this documentary, and I never thought about it this way, but it is true. What a fast does in our body, neurologically as well as physiology, it actually stresses your body out, which sounds kind of funny because you're like, well, I don't want to stress my body out. But that's the point, is in when you encounter the stress of not having the food or whatever, you know, the thing we get anxious for and think we need, actually the body in that time, the resting heart rate will lower, the pulse lower. It actually kind of goes into this survival place of, even though you're stressed out, I am going to protect you. I am fighting for you. So it teaches our body how to deal with stress. Fasting can teach our body how to deal with stress rather than going to the pantry or doing the thing or scrolling on Facebook. We actually can pull away. And then, you know, a lot of cultures will use this just as food restriction. But for us, if we pull away, teach our kind of step into that stress of not having the food, let all the chemicals and hormones come and bathe us in this serotonin and this kind of cooling effect. Like, everything's going to be okay. Your resting heart rate drops. You kind of feel tired, and that's kind of the point. Then God's word, if you partner prayer and fasting, or prayer and God's word with fasting, it again goes back to that neurological, your brain renews, you have a cognitive awareness, God is closer, because my flesh is so thin, because I'm so hungry, like I'm thinned out in the fact that I have starved my flesh, so now all that's left, God, is my spirit and my soul, speak to me, God, oh speak, and he shows up in ways that I think us trying to just maneuver our food schedule and our workouts sometimes just won't get to. Fasting is just a drop-the-pin moment.
Yeah. We're going to cover the idea of gluttony on the other side. I love that you took the time to really unpack that. I always say fasting is prayer with power tools, because there's something about your prayer that receives an upgrade as you engage in your faith and you fast and say no to your flesh. It's quite amazing. Talking to Lisa Keaton today. Again, her book is The Wellness Revelation. Love to get a copy in your hands. Enter the drawing. It's an 8-week journey. Live the promise at myfaithradio.com. Remember the mailing address. We'll be back in a minute.
He started something good.
I love that song. It's a reminder that you and I, we get to be a work in progress without the condemnation. Isn't that an amazing gift? We get to be a work in progress without the condemnation. Now, people aren't so gracious with each other, but the Lord Jesus is gracious with you. He loves you. He never rolls his eyes at you and breathes a heavy sigh. I say that often because he loves you. He's committed to you on this journey. Thanks for tuning in. This is Live the Promise, and I'm talking to Elisa Keaton today, fitness expert. This has been such a rich conversation, and we're just scratching the surface of my notes with you. Before we get into, we've been kind of walking through the weeks of this 8-week journey, but I asked you to talk fasting, which you did a great job before the break. Talk a bit, if you would, about gluttony and why it matters. Scripture does talk about gluttony, so we need to understand actually what it is and its impact on us.
Yeah. Wow, gluttony is just it's a physical manifestation, or we're trying to draw into us, take in as much of a physical thing around us. Proverbs talks about gluttons, that they eat much meat or drink much food, and we tend to think of it in a food drink kind of thing. It's basically excessiveness, more than you need. And yet we can do that in all kinds of places where we feel like a good thing is not enough. It becomes that elevated G-O-D, little G-O-D thing, and that is when it becomes destructive. Even we can look back in Exodus, when the Israelites are taken out into the wilderness, which, by the way, everyone, don't fear the wilderness. It's actually there that God is loving us to pull out of us the Egypt, to pull out of us our orphan spirit, our thinking that takes us into the pantry to overeat or to the gym to try and burn off the calories. But in the place of awareness that we have needs, God is aware of our needs. And so the people in the wilderness, the Israelites, are hungry, and he gives them food to eat. He provides manna from heaven, but even says to them, don't take more than what you need. It's when we take more than what we need that we actually begin that gluttonous lifestyle. And it's greed. It's, I need more. I need to protect myself. What if tomorrow he doesn't rain enough food? What? It's all based, again, on fear that God isn't who he said he is and won't do what he said he will do. Gluttony shows up because it medicates us. It's a way that we feel we can fill the hole inside of us for that need of whatever it is, the need really to be loved, to know we're loved and cared for. You know, my counselor said to me, Elisa, needs are not given to us by God in order to have them all met. They were given to us by God in order to create and foster relationship. So gluttony bypasses God's need. Just says, nope, I'm just going to get whatever. I'm not going to worry about what God thinks I need or having my needs met that way. I have my needs. I'm just going to get them fed into me however I have to. And that's where our lives become heavy, sloth-filled, selfish, and we become navel-gazers instead of, God, I'm looking to you. Just give me my daily bread, my daily portion of what I need. And more important than what I need is me having relationship with you.
Boy, that's so great. I remember hearing, I don't know, a year ago or so, from one of my guests said, if you don't feel hunger pains twice a day, you're eating too much. Would you say that's the case? I mean, you have to feel the need a little bit. Let your body tell you you're hungry. Right.
Yeah. In the book, we actually walk people through getting back in touch with hunger. Now, truth be told, some people, if you've overeaten so much in your life, they actually, and this is proven in science and the brain science, that they burn out the body's ability and the pathways that tell them they're hungry. So for those of you that go, I just never feel hungry, even if I don't eat, that's why I say a fast is really important, because a fast will eventually get you there. A fast. You will find hunger. But for most healthy metabolisms, we encourage people to use a hunger scale, and they can really drop, I've used that word a lot, drop the pin on, okay, am I ravishingly hungry, which means I'm just going to probably overeat, or am I satisfied, not stuffed myself, leaving just enough room that in a few hours, definitely by dinner, I'm going to be hungry again. But we got to be careful when we get so busy in a lifestyle where we keep suppressing and ignoring our hunger, and then we sit down for a big meal and gluttony shows up because we didn't pay attention to the need 4 hours ago. Hey, I need a little something. I need to feed my brain and feed my body so my brain can keep functioning well.
Very good. We're just on the home stretch here. I want you to come back again because I feel like we're just, there's so much more here. But week four, okay, we're talking week four. Rest in his strength and sufficiency. I just feel like somebody needs to hear this one today. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rest. It's something that I think we've neglected. As we've said, the culture is just moving at a higher speed, how we're connected and punched into everything and all the time. And it's a blessing. It's just really, I think it's great that we can be connected. But this strength and sufficiency that enough is enough and that we can rest in this enough place. All of this book and all of this ministry, it really is for us about bringing people sober to their emotions again, because we want you to feel your emotions. You need to feel them again, come fully online, awake and arise. And then we have to find this place where, you know what, God is my portion. My heart and my flesh will fail, but my strength and my sufficiency is found in him. I'm enough because he's enough for me. Otherwise, because by about week four, some people, especially once we've talked about food, some people start to kind of get into their groove and their plans, and, you know, they might be feeling, you know, really rah-rah. But again, this is like a Deuteronomy 8. God says, when I take you into that good land, when I start, you know, working on your behalf and doing all these blessings for you, you're going to be tempted to turn away from me and rely on your own strength. So this chapter 4 really comes back to, it's God's strength, remember, and sufficiency. We're not going for perfection or even completion. I love that song you just played, Unfinished. There will always be parts of me that are unfinished in Christ. I think Paul himself would say, these thorns, they don't seem to be going anywhere, but you know what? Don't take them, because they actually keep me growing in strength and knowledge of who Christ, this resurrected Christ, is. And for us, sufficiency, leaving just enough space where I'm not constantly thinking of me all the time, filling myself with more of what I think I need. God is my strength. God is my sufficiency.
My portion forever. And you think about it, when we don't engage this way, it sometimes feels like so much work, but it's actually work no matter what. In fact, if we're defaulting to just the easier thing, and we know that we're just kind of slogging through life, we are not showing up in relationships, you know, with an alert, alive heart. And you have to be self-focused after a while, because you have to accommodate all the implications of those choices. And you say, by showing up and being completely themselves, we're like being free to be who we are and our best selves, wholehearted people foster peace, joy, and growth in those around them, because these qualities flow from within them. And that's the goal. That's why Lisa and I are so passionate about this and talking about this today, is because as you flourish, other people in your midst will flourish. As you steward your story and your health, other people will look up to God for themselves. And Lisa, I'm wondering if you'd pray for that person listening today who just knows you're talking to them and really wants to engage with the Lord. Would you pray?
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God, we just thank you. This is your story. Thank you that Susie and I just played a really small part, Lord, in proclaiming it's good. It's good news. You're doing something good, God. And I pray for the listener, the person that has battled in their body, in their mind. There just has not been a sense of peace or joy. And we know that's a mark of the kingdom, Lord, righteousness, peace, and joy. So I speak those three words over each person with ears right now, that inside of them is righteousness, peace, and joy. And God, through the power of your spirit and your voice speaking and your word and prayer and fasting and all these great things, Lord, these things you've given us that Jesus modeled for us, Lord, that you would bring them back alive, that you would throw gasoline on the fire, God, that we would burn, our calorie burn would be the love of God in us and through us, Lord, that people would be completely themselves, the good idea that you created them to be, God. So I ask for grace upon the earth, for wellness, wholeness in your people, a people made ready for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Alisa, I just love you. Thanks for your time today.
Love you too, Susie. Thank you.
Yeah, come back again. Title of her book is The Wellness Revelation, and you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Okay, coming up next, it's Talk to Me Thursday. You know what the question is? If you could have a do-over in any area of life, what would it be? What would it be? Another great conversation is up ahead. Hour 2 is up next.